This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Not all 40-year-olds are created the same. Not all 50-year-olds are the same. I want no dude working at Foot Locker determining, you know, a multi-billion-dollar company. They can't even make these guys full-time. Like, put them on a real salary. Let them train. Make sure they're in shape. Make sure they're going out to practices. Making sure they're keeping up. The game moves too fast. And if we would miss most of it if we were, and we watch it on TV and we miss most of it.
You know, it'd be funny if a referee actually did work at Foot Locker.
He just wears uniform. Like, Bob, damn it, Bob. You got your badge. You got your Foot Locker badge on again. Damn it. Take the badge. Did you make sure your uniform's up again?
That would be the problem when you show up at the stadium. You're like, oh, I grabbed the wrong one.
If I'm a player, I'm like, hey, man, can you put a pair of them Yeezys to the side for me? I need you to put some of the Air Force Ones, man. Them new J's dropping, man. Listen, I'll give you a couple of extra cheese on your taco, B.
It's Barton Hahn with Rusty
Bob. You burn in hell!
Presented by Progressive Insurance. This hour brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. It's how doers get more done. This is hour number three, Bart Scott. What's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Hour? Yes, it is. 888-SAY-ESPN. Hour. 888-729-3776 is the number, as a lot of you want to sound off on this. It's been amazing throughout the entire show. This has been the topic, the hot topic that everybody wants to sound off on, is that you heard in the rejoin what happened last night in Monday Night Football. Had nothing to do with going for two instead of kicking the extra point and tying the game. Had nothing to do with that. Had nothing to do with Travis Kelce and his four touchdowns. And if you had him on your fantasy team, he was fantasy gold for you last night. Might have got you a win. Has nothing to do with any of that, no. Had nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes and how he performed. It just had to do with another roughing the passer call that sent fans all around the NFL and media too and players into a frenzy about something that now has gotten maybe out of control. Listen to Lewis Riddick, our ESPN NFL analyst. He was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and he was talking about what we saw Sunday when Tom Brady was the victim, air quotes, of a roughing the passer call that we all watched back several times and said, what? Here's Riddick.
We have now delved into, or rather, we're taking a trip down the slippery slope of trying to determine player intent. Well, I think he was intent on hurting Tom and or putting a hit on him that was unnecessary. My interpretation was, in real time, that that's what his intent was. It's like, what do you mean that was his intent? He was just trying to get the guy down. If Grady Jarrett wanted to really suplex Tom Brady, he could have. That wasn't his intent at all. But because we're always a victim of recency bias, and we have visions in our head now of Tua's head hitting the turf in Cincinnati, anything that looks remotely close to that, the flag's coming, man.
Bart, from your playing days, was there ever a time where you remember something like something happened and there was this reactionary thing with officials that changed the way you had to play for a couple of weeks just based on something happened and now it's like, all right, I'm getting all these calls are happening. Anything similar to this that you experienced as a player?
Yeah, Tom Brady coming back after the injury where I forgot what his name was, safety from Houston, landed at his knee and tore his knee up. And mm-hmm. So now anytime we were by the knee or we were pushed, and that's when the hole can't hit below the knee.
Right.
But then if you're trying to get up or you're blocked into him, so then they were just throwing penalties like crazy. Anytime you touch the quarterback below the knee or try to grab his ankle, grab his foot, you know, you're a lot of times getting off of the ground trying to get back up to go get to the quarterback, and some guys would crawl, grab a foot, pull
Bernard
a foot.
Bernard Pollard, right?
Yeah, yeah. Bernard Pollard, yep. And mm-hmm. It was like the overreaction. And the same thing had happened a couple years ago to Carson Palmer. So then it was like the Kiki Van Olaf type of thing. So like when you're blitzing, and a lot of times, you know, you couldn't do anything about it because you would be blitzing and the running back would come and cut your legs out and you just fly over the top.
Right.
So then they were just coming out like crazy. And then finally they, you know, got away from that and running back stopped, you know, cutting in front of the quarterback and started taking it like a man. And then, you know, everything kind of balances.
Did you ever have to change anything about what you did as a defensive player over the years?
Well,
was it something that you would once used to do that you had to stop doing?
Yeah, you couldn't like you couldn't.
I mean, you specific, not just defense. Yeah, I mean, you specific. That was something that you were like, I got to stop doing this.
We had to stop like sliding our head right to helmet. So you got to make sure you slide your head off, because if you hit down the middle, and a lot of times your body and your helmet will rise up and make contact with the helmet. So then it's like, oh, helmet to helmet contact.
Right.
You know, then you had James Harris who was hitting defensive players, and that was the crazy thing. But the biggest thing for us as the Ravens, what we had to adjust to was, one, we had defensive holding, because we would hold, like we would grab the defense lineman from getting up to the linebackers and let the linebackers run. So we had to adjust to that as a team. But the most one was for us was dumping guys. So what we used to do, we used to scoop guys up, dump them on their head and their shoulder, try and break their shoulder. Not break their shoulder, but you know.
When you say scoop guys up, try to give me a visual of that.
So imagine like when you hit somebody, you can knock them down, but you can grab them and pick them up in the air and kind of like run suplex and kind of dump your weight on top of them and kind of.
Now you're talking about a running back or, anybody, or a receiver,
anybody,
a tight end.
Anybody. Like you get them with a square hit, you pick them up, and then now you got them raised in the air. Now you come and you jump in the air, you turn them sideways.
Power drive.
And you power drive them like either the side of their shoulder or their head, and then night-night.
Yeah, and that was no good. Couldn't do that anymore.
Go to sleep, Craig. Go to sleep.
That was something that was probably fun to do.
Put the gun down. Yeah, that's right, Craig. Put the gun down. Get knocked out like your daddy used to.
But what happened with the last couple of days? It's very reactionary. Sports is, and so you see this, and you hear what Lewis Riddick said. And you start to ask yourself, all right, we got to start changing rules now. We got to change what we do. So John Perry, ESPN NFL rules analyst, he was on KJM this morning. And it's a very simple question. As you look at what's happening now at roughing the passer, is this now a broken situation that needs to be fixed?
I'm not sure it's broke. Look, a couple of these are just incorrect calls, plain and simple. Nothing more, nothing less. The rule is very clear, very well written compared to what it was several years ago. They continue to try to create categories. And as an official, as a visual learner, visual training, you try to make every call fit into certain categories. Knee and below, neck and above, more than two steps. A few of these do not fit into any of these categories. And they're just errors and judgments, incorrect calls. They're not the first, and they will not be the last. Been there, done that. No one would like some of these more back, a redo, than the official that made the call.
Now, a lot of times, you will see it. And how about this? You remember a couple of weeks ago, the Jets lost to the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
John Frankenmyers
shoved him.
Shoves Joe Burrow on a play that the Jets had gotten the stop. And he's chasing him down. Burrow's running out of bounds. And Frankenmyers decides to shove him. And did he land on him too?
He tripped over him.
Then he fell on him.
And then, of course, some falling feet. You still running. You tripped over him.
So, and he got called for it. And that turned around and they scored. And the game just was in the same sense. Yep. Right? That was the game.
It felt like a pivotal moment.
Right. Those are ones where you see them. We all say it when it happens. Like, yeah. Right? We blame the player. That was dumb. That was a selfish play. But the ones that we've seen these last 2 days, they didn't feel like plays like that. And that's when you start saying that something needs to be fixed, something needs to be done about it. And you and I argued last hour, Bart, and I just don't feel like we should overreact to this. I almost feel like this is in a vacuum.
But it's costing us. It's costing people games.
It just cost the Falcons the game. Yes, and it sucks, and it shouldn't happen. And you heard John Perry say, they're mistakes.
It cost the Ravens the game, too. Same guy. So at what point do we start holding
these guys?
Then let's start holding these referees accountable.
Oh, I think they will be.
Let's say it's wrong, and then the same guy did the same call 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
3 weeks in a row.
Right, well, something needs to be done about that.
And he still ain't changed it.
Right.
So ain't nobody took him off
the game. And when they talk to him, what do they all say? Oh, that's following the rules. I'm following the protocols of what we're supposed to look for.
It's there. See, this is the thing about rules. It's open to interpretation.
It is to a point. And like he has said, and a lot of these guys have said, they are told to, if when in doubt, make the call. That's what they're told. When in doubt, make the call. And so if he has doubt, he's taught, he's trained, make the call. But I just don't want this to turn into, we should review everything, this is a big deal, now you've got to start changing rules. I don't think it is. Because for the most part, when these calls are made, a lot of times we as fans go, that was stupid, right? That was a dumb, that you shouldn't have, that you know better than to do that. It just so happens that 2 days in a row, we saw plays that should not have been penalized. So I don't think there's reason to overreact. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Han, Alan on, Bart Scott. We'll go back to the calls. Let's go to Brad in Missouri, who was at the game last night. Arrowhead, what's up, Brad?
Guys, thank you so much for taking my call. Real quick, being a person that lived in Carbondale, Illinois, Bart, what do you say when I... What do you say when I say Quattro's Pizza?
Hey, man. You said this to me before, man. I always get the Quattro's.
Did you forget?
Pizza.
You forget the saying?
Quattro D pan pizza. No, that's something
else. He's singing it?
Quattro.
I don't know the saying. I just thought it was great pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You were going to sing the song?
You got Pitch Pennies.
Oh, I don't.
Mary Lou's.
They got a song. I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Mary Lou's. Give me some biscuits and gravy to soak up all that alcohol. Bottom shelf, baby.
Actually,
Jägermeister, Southern Comfort.
They do have a jingle.
They got a jingle.
They do have a jingle.
Quadro.
Okay, well, listen. I was at the game last night. I got some tickets from a scalper. I was already crossing fingers like, did I get gypped? I got into the game.
Yeah.
All right. Had a great tailgate. Got into the game. I go up to the nosebleed. I sit down in my seats. It's me and my son. And, in walks in, and I'm not kidding you guys, 15 ladies in the row in front of us, and I'm talking the youngest is probably 70. So I'm like, oh, this is getting ready to
was
be.
Was this Mary Jean? Was it Sister Mary Jean and her crew?
Sister Jean from Chicago.
You know what?
Loyal.
The funny thing about it. You know, the funny thing about it is two of them had none had.
Yeah, see, she a glory.
So,
No, don't say that. Okay, so go ahead with the story.
Okay, so here's the deal. So we're sitting at the game, and these ladies are decked out, but the youngest is 70. Oldest is probably 90. The penalty happens.
Yeah.
Okay? And when I say these 15 ladies come unglued. I'm talking their Leon press-on nails fell off their fingers.
The nun cuss.
Right, she's
like,
throwing her
Jesus
habit.
Christ.
You
she's throwing
rat
her habit.
Burn in hell.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sitting there holding my son's ears.
Oh, wow. That bad?
No. It wasn't that
football
bad.
Football makes us crazy.
But they were coming. They were going nuts because they had spent their whole life watching Chiefs football and not understanding why Chris Jones was getting the flag.
I love it.
It makes no sense. But the funny thing is like the five Raider fans that were close in that section, of course, seeing that it benefited them.
Loved it.
You know, they were like, well, yeah, that's
absolutely
a penalty, you know. The rules say that you're not blah, blah, blah.
Right, we all become
and
rules experts.
Ladies,
yes.
Oh, yeah, and these ladies ripped him and them apart. And anyways, when you heard during that game, every time a ref stepped out, and, you know, the refs have a tough job. I used to be an umpire in baseball. You're always the bad guy. So every time the ref stepped out, you know, there was booing. I'm telling you, what you heard on TV... 90% was the 15 ladies that were sitting right in front of me.
Brad, that's an awesome story.
They should have put out some holy oil and said, ask the Raiders fan, what the five fingers say to the face? Mac!
Love it.
Hail Mary.
Hey,
do you
Quattro's Pizza.
Yes.
Last thing, Bart. Yeah. Since I got the Quattro's thing, and all right, listen, what about Booby Subs?
Is this it?
No, boobies.
It said the end.
It's got the number and everything, man.
Yeah, 5753226.
5-4
Quadro,
D-O.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll damn near remember the number 20 years from now.
On Freeman Street. Brad, thanks so much, man.
5793326.
He wasn't even looking for the jingle. He just wanted to know, like, what do you say to it? Meaning, do you like it? It definitely looks pretty good.
Quattro's.
Go for some pizza right now.
Pan pizza. Like, there's only one in existence. We over here giving it all the pub in the world.
Yeah, it's in Carbondale of all places,
five.
Too. Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five.
What is that?
One, two, three.
It sounds like
the voice.
Chris Canty, Mustafa?
The voice of God.
Mustafa. It's only our show, to who other shows just break in.
Wait a minute. Are we getting a visit?
The spirits are among us. Oh!
Oh, no.
I leave for one day, and this is what happens.
They followed me to the dark side.
Lactavius.
Yes.
Lactavius takes a day where he goes up to Bristol,
Chris,
and all hell breaks
Canty
loose in the damn studio.
Oh.
I don't even think that's Canty.
Yes, I know his voice.
I don't know, man. Let's Speaking of voices, let's continue with your calls.
No.
Let's go to Maine and talk to Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so listen, quickly, a couple of things. I want to talk about my quarterback on Purge Sunday, but maybe instead of putting that yellow jersey on these quarterbacks, we should kind of incorporate a little bit of the Lingerie Football League and kind of dress them up in bronze panties.
Wow.
And maybe, you know.
We're going to put the Ravisher, tights on them? We're going to put the Ravisher Rick Rude tights on?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's some linemen. I don't need to see that.
What I want is for all you fat, ugly, out of shape people from Kansas City.
I'm good.
Yeah, I said it, Stosh.
I'm good.
Just shut up while I take off my robe.
No, I'm good.
Hit the music.
Do not need that.
Well, somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a wedgie.
So, what quarterback would you put in the quarterback purge?
In a heartbeat. I'm struggling watching my Titans squeak out these wins. I would put him out there,
Tannehill,
and roll the dice all day long.
Did we, we find the Purge music?
Just throw Ryan Tannehill out there and then say, I'll leave it up to Malik Willis. Unbelievable.
We used to have a Purge thing as a drop. Where's the Purge drop? What happened to our Purge drop?
I can't use sound today.
Oh, wow.
It's out of my hands right now.
Way to go.
We go to Missouri. Talk to Greg. What's up, Greg?
What's up, buddy? Hey, Bart Scott, man. Appreciate your energy every time. Every time.
I appreciate it. All good, baby. I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Love it. Love it. Hey, I want to bring up player safety and this roughing the passer BS. First of all, Tua's hit was, anybody remember him actually getting really hit on that play? His head hit the turf. The turf was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, and to that, the Miami Dolphins playing him in that game was the problem.
Absolutely.
Stop saying, we got to make up for these. This injury to Tua for the rest of the league, and we can't have contact on quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the turf, and then you save a lot of other players on the field as well, and their knees, their ankles, and everything else. But when it comes to directional league, and you all talk about directional league, this no contact to a quarterback, I mean, are we watching the Pro Bowl? Is that what we're going to go to? Because that's no longer in existence.
Yeah,
they got rid of that this year.
Right.
So do they not? They don't even have a game. I guess it's going to be a 7-on-7 game. La di da. Two hand touch. Whatever it is.
That's what we should make it. Two hand touch.
It's
7-on-7.
This isn't what people watch. People aren't watching. And thank you, Greg. People aren't. We got a lot of conversations going on in this room right now. Yeah. I mean, what are these voices?
I'm the only spirit allowed in this studio.
I don't
Be gone,
know.
You peasant. Be gone.
I don't even know how to turn it off if I could. That's the problem.
Is there anything good being said?
Luckily, nothing bad's being said.
Yeah. I really hate that Renee guy, man.
Yeah.
He thought he'd think he's special because he got rid of the neck tuxedo.
That's so funny.
He's still built like SpongeBob.
Whoa, what? Patrick Starr, actually, but whatever.
Patrick Starr, it's even better. It just
comes through the speakers.
It's just coming through the speakers. And this is just life at Seaport.
Man.
You know, we got a million shows going all in one time. You never know who's just going to come walking into the studio. We've had that happen before.
Is it like walkie-talkie? Somebody just got on our frequency?
Breaker 1-9. Like is that one of those things that just happened?
This is Rocco Bico Train. Get them nukes.
Let's continue with the call, shall we? Let's see.
Granberry.
Yeah.
Granberry.
I don't know what that meant. Is that like code now?
Yeah, it's code, man.
Speaking in code. Armando in Texas. What's up, Armando?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's good?
Big fan. Big fan. Y'all bring the energy every time. I love it. I was just going to just say, you know, about last night, it's just the NFL is just getting, I feel like some of it is just getting too out of control. So it almost reminds me of some of these calls I'm seeing in the NBA with all the flopping going
on. Armando, that's literally, that is exactly the parallel I was making, is I felt like that's where we're going. Where it just turns into we overreact to a point where now you're going to start getting that into the game. See, the NBA game used to be a physical game. Now it's not. It's bogus. And then what happens is they've cut down so much of the physicality that what a player's doing, but now faking that they're getting hit so they could draw a foul to their advantage. And it just makes the game now seem soft. And it's not any more like authentic. And think about how many fans who say that as they watch the game, like, oh, come on, this guy flopped. It's like nobody likes that. That's not inspiring. To pretend you got hurt, to pretend you got hit, it's not inspiring. Football's a physical game. Let it stay that way. All right, we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming though, we mentioned basketball. All right, so the basketball season is, we're closing in on the beginning of the NBA season. And coming up next, we relive one of the most iconic moments in the last 20 years of basketball. Jeremy Lin joins us. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Ah, there's the music. We're getting closer. We are getting closer. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, get a business insurance quote online as little as 6 minutes. Visit progressivecommercial.com. All right, so everybody knows the name Jeremy Lin. And in my opinion, it's one of basketball's cultural icons of the 21st century. There's an HBO documentary that's dropping tonight. It's called 38 at the Garden. And I think after you watch it, it will prove what I'm saying. The documentary will take us deeper into the impact that Linsanity had beyond the game. I had a chance to catch up with Jeremy about the documentary and more. Here's that conversation. Jeremy, it's great to talk to you again. I don't know about you, but I can't get over the fact that it's been 10 years since we lived this whole thing with you. Just the timing alone. Does it blow your mind that that was 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's... time flies, for sure. When I think about it, almost feels like, in some ways it feels like yesterday, but then in some ways it feels like it was a lifetime ago. It's so weird. But yeah, no, 10 years is pretty crazy to say 10 years have gone by.
That's literally what I was thinking watching the screener. As I'm watching it, because I lived it on MSG every night, post games, just the same reaction of, he did it again. He did it again. Is there anything he can't do? And I'm watching it thinking, yeah, that feels like yesterday. But no, it's amazing how long it's been. But yet the impact remains. And that's something I wanted to get into with you, because we've all had our different impacts of this, right? Like me in New York, watching it live happen and just saying to myself, like, this is incredible. And knowing how important at that time it was for that Knicks team that was just trying to make the playoffs and trying to build off of all the pieces that they were putting together there. And you come along and just woke up that whole season. But there's different perspectives. And I found that's what this documentary feels different. And you used, to me, it was the perspectives of different people that were in this, including Pablo Torre of ESPN. Who were interviewed, each of them with Asian descent, and the impact it just had on that culturally. At the time, did you have any idea the impact that you were having, or were you just so in the moment, it was hard to even understand the impact you were having on people?
I mean, I was just so in the moment, and I think, you know, it's one of my biggest regrets is when it was happening at the age, you know, at that time I was 23, yeah. I didn't understand. I wish I understood more of the injustices, the barriers that people had to go through. Like, I understood it from a basketball lens, from my own life lens. I understood racism to be when people would call me a chink on the court or make fun of my eyes or, you know, tell me orchestra's over here to go back to China. The whole like, you know, thing that I've dealt with my whole life. I was like, okay, that's racism. But I didn't understand everything else. I didn't understand the microaggressions. I didn't understand the way that Hollywood portrayed Asian. I didn't understand the depths and the layers and the length, the centuries of racism that had existed, that has been existing, and the barriers and just how hard it was because I was shattering those barriers, right? That's why I couldn't feel the depths of it. And I think that's why, as I look back now, I'm like, I know the insanity was amazing, but if I knew what I knew now, I wish I could go back and do things so differently because it was such a monumental historic moment so far beyond basketball. And at that time, all I could think about was basketball because I was just trying to make it. I was just trying to not get cut.
That's the reality of it. When you're in that moment, you're just thinking about survival. Like, you're not thinking about, look at the impact I'm having, because you were trying to make the impact of, I just want to stay here. I just want to be here. And you mentioned the things that have been said to you, the things that have been said and the remarks you had to hear and just kind of swallow and take it and all that stuff. I wonder, though, because the couch stories are fun stories, because that's relatable to almost everyone, right? Everyone that has had to find their way into a career once or twice has had to do something like that, crash on someone's couch because it's the best I got right now. And so that's relatable and we can laugh. But I feel like when you retold the story, and I remember at the time, too, and unfortunately, I heard of it and I was like, oh, that's funny. You walk into the garden and this guard stops you and says, where are you going? And you're like, well, I'm on the team. Yeah, sure you are. Show me ID. They don't give me ID. I'm on the team. And it's in a moment, it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's funny. But then it's like, no, it's not funny. And you really, it felt like when you were retelling that story, you took it a lot more personal than the first time you retold it. And I wonder if at the time, was that all part of the fuel to the fire? Why you were playing with the, you know, you were playing for survival, yes. But there was also a little something extra, like Iman Shumpert said, that look in your eye, that just, it was different. Did some of that stuff too fuel what was 38 in the garden against the Lakers and Kobe, the game-winning shot where you clear everybody out against the Raptors, moments like that?
Oh, you know, for sure, right? Like, I grew up with a chip on my shoulder because I couldn't even get chosen to be on a court. Like, and every time I stepped on the court, I had extra, like, three chips on my shoulder because that's just what it was like for me. And when you think about not being able to get into the arena, when you think about Kobe's reaction to what was happening, when you think about, you know, the story of me winning California Player of the Year and then, you know, not getting a scholarship, or me crushing it in workouts and not getting, you know, or all this stuff that happened, right? The disrespect that I felt for decades of my life, that was all coming out when I was playing. And, you know, even when I think about the Toronto game, like, there was a guy courtside, and I say this now, and I remember it like yesterday, there was a guy courtside who was just on me, like, the whole game. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with being Asian. That's just, you know, that's just sports. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying the disrespect that I felt was definitely part of this whole, like, hey, screw you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's the best way to put it. They call it a catharsis, right? Like, when you were in that mode, like that one primal scream you had, just turning around and just letting it out, like you mentioned at that time, you just felt it all came out. Like, that's the catharsis. And that's what made it so inspiring for everyone to see, because that was like, look at this guy doing something at the height of his, like, this is the best you'll ever feel, like that kind of a thing. And it was great to watch. Media coverage, of course, is always going to be intense, but probably 10 times more because you were in New York. As you mentioned earlier, at the time, you know, you were so caught up in many things that there are some things you can wish you can go back and do differently. But I wonder, if you look at it, was the media coverage something that was overwhelming to you? Was it something that caught you by surprise? Because, again, you were living in the moment. How was that for you to deal with? Because what you were doing wasn't just anywhere. It was in the media capital of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not somebody who is that comfortable with the cameras, right? I think that's why it works with basketball, is because it doesn't matter how many cameras and spectators there are. When I'm on the court, like, that discomfort, like, I'm zoned in on the game. But off the court, when I had to deal with all the things that came with it, I was completely unequipped and, you know, unprepared for it.
I'll just go with one last question and then we'll sign off. So after almost a decade in the NBA, what is Jeremy Lin doing now? Where is basketball taking you?
I'm in the CBA right now. I'm with the Guangzhou Loon Lions, and the season starts October 12th, so a day after mm-hmm. the premiere of the documentary. And so that's where I'm at today. I'm still happy to be able to be playing in my 13th season professionally.
Basketball is taking him into so many different places. Obviously, he being in China, the conversation, we did the best we certainly could. But it was great to talk with him, great to catch up with him. Again, if you want to catch up and just relive what that moment was like all those years ago, believe it or not, 10 years ago, 38 at the Garden tonight on HBO. Coming up, we've got your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel right now, Bart Scott. I'm supposed to be excited? So Phillies are beating the Braves 4-1, top of the fourth, game one of the NLDS, of one of the NLDS. And in a little while, about an hour.
6-1 now.
It's 6 now? Latest I had was 4. Oh, bases were loaded, so they must have had another hit.
They're arrogant too. I'm glad that the Braves.
Braves just getting smacked.
I just want to see the look of our boy. You know what I'm saying? When he come in with his jersey this time, I bet he's gonna burn that one.
Oh, Harry Douglas,
Doogie.
I've had enough. Like, here's the thing: what the Braves? Who would they want to see in the World Series the most? They don't want to see the Astros, although. That didn't really bother them too much. They want to see
the Yankees.
They want to beat the Yankees because the Yankees beat them twice when they faced them. But there's something about Atlanta and beating New York teams that I'm like, this has got to stop. Like, enough. You know? Like, I've had it. Might start yelling bing bong if the Yankees do end up beating them in the World Series. But they got to get there first. Like, an hour from now, you'll get the aforementioned Astros and the Mariners in a very interesting series on the ALDS side. And then you'll get the Yankees and the Guardians. How are we supposed to feel about that series? In a word, nervous. But I'm watching. I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping that the best of the season is not behind us. But I'm not feeling good about injuries and who's available and who's not. It's just been...
Judge has had, what, a week off?
Yeah. Yeah, he's fine. I'm not worried about him.
I reloaded.
Yeah, maybe he and Stan a little more healthy. Maybe the bats will wake up. Rizzo, a little bit of health, but there's no, like, LeMahieu, you have no idea what you're getting out of him. If you're getting anything out of him.
It's crazy. In 2 years, he's just went from sugar to.
Yeah, I know, exactly. We go to Steve in New York. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up?
Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, I was calling because earlier today you guys were mentioning October 11th,
yeah,
and I thought what you guys were going for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought what you were going for was the day that Don Zimmer got tossed to the turf by Pedro Martinez.
Pedro Martinez.
That's what I thought you were.
Well, I mean, the Deion thing was it led us into the Deion story with Eddie Robinson. So that's
Don
Zimmer
in sports
and Pedro.
Why was he charging Pedro
Game
with his hands
three
by his side
of the ALCS?
Was he trying to tackle?
I don't know.
It's like he's trying to ram him.
That's one of those when you're old and you're just like, I'm mad. I'm gonna
boom, boom, boom,
I mean,
boom, boom,
I mean, battering ram is a bold choice, but I'll give it a shot. Like, yeah. What else am I gonna do?
Did Pedro smack him on the back of the head? Did he hit him with the
as he went by?
The hand dug it.
All these years later, they get to laugh about it, but at the moment, it was not a great moment.
Meh.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart Hunt, Alan Hall, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Man, we got a lot. Bart, it's a busy day. We just had week 5 of the NFL. We'll get a couple of days off, and then we start Thursday, week 6, and we got some matchups to talk about, whether it's the Cowboys and the Eagles. We've got the Bills and the Chiefs, a little rematch there as well, so a big weekend coming up. But as we take a little pause for a couple of days from football, we got baseball, as it's going on right now, 6-1 Phillies over the Braves. Yes, that's not a typo. There is then all of the DS series, the divisional round now starts today. You get all four games, including the Yankees and the Guardians at 7:30. All the coverage on ESPN Radio, Dodgers and the Padres, that should be an interesting series as well. And then in the afternoon, a little bit later on, you get the Mariners at the Astros. Then you get hockey. You ready for some hockey tonight?
Islanders or Red Wings?
You get the Lightning and the Rangers tonight, the first of the doubleheader, and then the Golden Knights and the Kings in the second, ESPN, Messier and them boys.
Right? Let's do that hockey.
On the broadcast, so we have hockey going on. And then, of course, as I mentioned in the previous...
we're getting closer to that sports nirvana.
Yes, and then the NBA season is just about a week away from that beginning as well.
Bong bing.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Bing bong.
Well, we shall see. Let's go to Curtis in North Carolina. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Bart, what's good, man?
What up, Kurubatados?
What's up? Han, I wanted to talk to you real quick because that last segment you had really touched me, man. What's crazy is my son was doing a homework assignment at the house when they kind of had a remote learning, and they had to pick like an American icon, and he picked Jeremy Lin, and it was funny because I was going through it with him, and I was like, man, I remember all of this. I remember exactly where I was at, traveling through the airports, getting ready to go to Afghanistan when he was going on his crazy Linsanity run, and for him just to pick that story the way he picked it, and for you to say that they're having that documentary is just so real to me. Like, it's a surreal moment. I know we're going to watch it tonight on HBO, so I just wanted to reiterate, I appreciate you saying all those things, and it really was a crazy time.
It was amazing, and I'm glad you take the time to watch it. Trust me, I got to see the screener, and it's really good. It's short. It's not very long. It's not like you're going to get stuck sitting for 2 hours with this thing. I mean, they did it right because they give you that game, but they also give you the backstory, how he got there, and just some of the stuff he was talking about. Really, it just hits you. You relive it, and you realize, man, at that time, and, you know, I mean, Twitter was a thing then, obviously. Social media was a thing in 2012. Wasn't that long ago? But, Curtis, if that's happening now with the way social media is now, it would have been unbelievable. And one thing that Jeremy said, too, you heard him say it, is that he didn't realize it at the time, the impact he was having, until later when someone like, you know, again, your call and other people who come up to him and say, that impacted me in some way. Like, your son impacted me in some way. And that's when he realized, like, wow, that was so much bigger than I even realized it was. Thanks for the call, Curtis. I hope you do enjoy it. But that's what sports does, Bart.
Is this your sale to judge to stay?
Yes, of course it is.
The New York Sea of Jeremy Lin. He only did it for 2 minutes.
If Jeremy Lin played for the Grizzlies, no. There's no way. There's no way. Happened at the Garden. What are you doing now?
The mic is buzzing? I don't know what's going on.
We have all kinds of technical issues in here. No, it is not. Now, Barsh Thomas will show up tomorrow.
White spirits. White
He's
noise.
He's tomorrow. He is not today. Are you packing up? Like, what do you know? We still have like at least 2 minutes to go.
No, I always forget my.
Where are you
adapter?
Going? That you're
no,
in such a hurry.
Nowhere. I always forget my adapter, and I leave it here, and then I go to the show on Thursday or something.
You're
or
like zipping the bag in the microphone. Like, people at home are like listening to the show. They're in their cars.
I didn't think the microwave was working. If it's buzzing,
like, where's
just
Bart?
Bailing early like the Mets?
I didn't say it. That was Stosh.
Yeah, come on, man. Kansas City won one Super Bowl in its existence, and now you're something.
Like
something.
Two.
Two. Mm. The first one don't count. That was statute of limitations.
Yeah. How old do you think I am?
That was a championship. There wasn't no Super Bowl.
Stosh was 20 at the time.
That was a championship. That's the case. If that's the case, Cleveland Browns are the greatest winning organization of all time.
Yeah,
all
that literally wasn't a Super Bowl, though. That wasn't a Super Bowl.
Oh, it was the first one. That's right. What, Super Bowl 1?
No, there was no.
You were in high school, right, Stosh?
No.
Man, how old do people think I am?
Stosh was having his first kid at the time. The Browns won their 10 championships in a row.
He did a tour of NAMM.
Hey, come on.
Alan's older than me.
That is actually true. That's true, but I don't remember the Chiefs Super Bowl.
And remember, Bart doesn't want people your age calling flags.
Yeah,
on
we got that to the ageism.
What was it,
Hank Stram? Are you an ageist?
What was it, Hank Stram?
Hank Stram.
What are we doing out here?
No, that wasn't Hank Stram.
I'm sorry, that's
that'd
that's,
be Vince Lombardi. Yeah, Lombardi.
But Hank Stram,
what the hell's going on out here?
Yeah, like, but what okay, what was Hank Stram saying? We got to matriculate the ball down the field.
Just keep matriculating the ball down the field,
that's
boys.
The one. You know what I'm saying?
That's the one.
Why did they talk so fast back in the day? Matriculate the ball down the field, boys. Yeah.
First, we're going to kick it. Then we're going to talk.
They talk too fast.
Yeah. That was wasn't that the Newt Rockne speech? Was all that too?
We're going to hit him. We got to jump. Whoa, calm down, bro.
It was like pointing left and right and all that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
hey, man. I think they had undiagnosed ADHD.
Can you remember what we were saying about hip hop? Hip hop in the 80s, was they yelling at you?
Yeah.
And now everything's just calmer and quieter and, you know, nicer.
Don't push me.
Right, exactly. Could you imagine taking Newt Rockne?
I used to live downtown.
Have Newt Rockne try to give a speech to today's athletes. Could you imagine that?
1995 is the number.
It's actually 89.
Like, can you say it that damn slow?
He yells it.
Yeah.
Yells it at you.
Like, bro, I get it. I can hear you. I'm standing right here, bro. I got the TV up on 17.
And then there's somebody next to him just going, yeah.
Yeah, they was high.
Well, Newt Rockne talking to today's athletes?
Yeah.
How would that work?
They'd be like, man, what is wrong?
Why are you so upset?
Hey, I got an Adderall. You good?
Why are you yelling at me?
Like, I got an Adderall.
I'm ready to play. It's fine.
We got to punch him. We got to get him. We got to hit. Bang, 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 bang. Yeah. Like, bro, you need to.
Remember the day.
Chill, bro. Smoke this doobie.
They play the Titans.
Meh.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.